Blog Talk Radio. Rathbone here once again to speak to you about an element of our pleasure, a part of our pleasure known as erogenous zones. And erogenous zones are such an exciting, no pun intended, topic because they are the difference between humans and all other forms of animals when it comes to sexual play and passion and sexual creativity. Now, before I begin today's topic, I would like to remind you that my website, yourpleasure.com, which will lead you to a bigger website of sensuality, sexuality, pleasure advice, has all of this information in the written form and many more topics. If you should go there, you will see on the left side the Your Pleasure Shop, which has all of the products. Just find your way through: vibrators, lickables, toys, lotions. And beneath that, there are three major topics of sensuality, sexuality, pleasure, and even advice. And if you go to any one of those second-tier pages, beneath them, you will see hundreds of topics that have to do with those keywords and other keywords that combine with them. So I hope you'll make it your business to visit my website and visit often. And if you have any questions, please, please send them in. Send them into the radio program, send them into the website. But definitely know, let me know what you want to hear, what you want to talk about, and it will be my pleasure to accommodate that need. Because this is your pleasure, and I would like to know that in my own way, I am satisfying a very important talk that so many people just never have. Not with their best friends, not with their parents, not with their siblings, with no one. So if I can be that mentor for you, if I can lend a little bit of advice, whether it's through the spoken word or through the written word via my website, I would absolutely love to do it. And if you are interested in knowing about some of the techniques that I'm going to be discussing today and actually have it in a written form in front of you, my book, Loving Sex, Every Woman's Guide to Sensual Sexuality, has the treatment of erogenous zones for some of the most exquisite sexual techniques that are out there. I mean, shrimping is orgasm through the feet, and you can have a full-body orgasm with a pâté d'araignée. So if you want to know how to do these things, if you want to understand the science behind them, my book is on Amazon.com. Just go to my name on Amazon.com, and you will see there are two books there, and both of them have information that would be very helpful for the growing lover. So now, erogenous zones. Let's just talk about that for a second here. Erogenous is from the Greek word eros, which means sex, and genus, which means produce or born of. So what they are is areas of the body that have concentrated amount of nerve endings, and that's usually in the extremities of the body. And when these areas are stroked or kissed or licked or touched delicately, gently, sometimes intensely, these hot spots, these erogenous zones, produce a passion and a desire and a heat. And that's why they're called hot spots. Now, erogenous zones are kind of a funny and tricky thing. They're not really the same thing for everyone. I mean, everybody has the standard, but some people are extremely sensitive in their own bodies, and other people are only mildly sensitive, and then there are some areas of their body that they're very sensitive, and then other areas of their body which they're not sensitive at all. So it's important to understand that you're not comparing yourself to anyone, and you should never compare yourself to anyone. Your body is a gift, and there is pleasure to be found in it, and whether it is extremely sensitive, medium sensitive, not too sensitive, it can be nurtured, it can be loved, it can be restored to a very healthy way of appreciating physical pleasure. So now, how can you really know if an area of your body is a potential erogenous zone? And that is because of when that body part is stroked or touched, it is extremely sensitive. Now, how are body parts touched? They're not all touched in the same way. For example, toes. I know a lot of people kind of cringe at the idea of feet in general being an erogenous zone, but toes in particular are a major erogenous zone. And you say, well, how's that? They're on my feet, they're, you know, my feet are calloused, whatever. Toes are an extremity of the body, and they have a concentrated amount of nerve endings in the end of them. And if they are delicately kissed or stroked or even sucked gently after a massage so that the feet are relaxed, toes can be one of the most delicious, exciting, fantastic parts of the body to be pleasured. And they're not your standard erogenous zone. They're certainly not genitals, and you certainly can't get pregnant stroking that particular erogenous zone, your toes. So they are just for pleasure. They are extremely sensitive. But you must remember that if you are going to handle feet, that those feet have to be relaxed. So if you're going to enjoy them as an erogenous zone, it's really a good idea to have a foot massage beforehand. Now, toes, even though they're considered a major erogenous zone, if they are mishandled, can be extremely sensitive and even ticklish. So even though they're considered or thought to be an erogenous zone, they are not regarded as such by many people because they've never had their feet handled as such. They've never had their feet handled in a sensuous, delicate, loving, caring, exciting way. Another thing about feet is that since they do have sweat glands, they can tend to be smelly. So if you are going to include your feet as part of the sensual package that is you, it is really a good idea to make sure they're clean and make sure they're buffed and an occasional pedicure to keep your nails trimmed and your skin soft, because unless they are inviting, unless they are soft, unless they are pleasant, they're not going to be considered an erogenous zone, no matter how much potential for pleasure they have inherent in them. Another area that you would not handle like feet, but is also an erogenous zone, is nipples. But nipples are a funny erogenous zone because they are an erogenous zone for almost 50% on the dot. 50% of men and 50% of women consider their nipples a major erogenous zone. And then the other 50% do not. And in fact, if you stimulate some people's nipples, instead of it being exciting or delicious or leading to genital arousal, it's annoying and they can't wait for you to get off. Or for men, how dare you go there, don't touch that. But nipples, especially a woman's nipples, when stimulated properly, may result in a surge of oxytocin and prolactin. And both of these have significant effects on exciting her genitals. So just remember, nipples can be fun, but the only way that you know that they are a major erogenous zone for a person is by paying attention to their response to you. And if you're not sure what their response means, absolutely ask, because maybe they don't like their nipples touched, but the chests and the breasts themselves can always appreciate some kind of gentle touches or caresses by hands, mouth, or fingertips. So even if you're not stimulating nipples per se, because they're not super sensitive on this person's body and they don't like it, but that doesn't mean that they can't enjoy having the rest of that area touched somehow. Lots of people know about my next erogenous zone, which is ears. Now, they're super sensitive. And again, this is an area which becomes an erogenous zone because of the way it is handled or touched. So lots of people know that gentle nibbles on the ear lobes is a very exciting way to get the body excited. But it's not just the lips on the earlobe. It's the breath in the ear canal, because breath actually has a sensation to it as well, and it is stimulating to the body type. Now, we're not talking hard breath. We're not talking breathing really hard into someone's ear or blowing or any of that. Just a natural kind of warmth that is exuded from your body into the other person's body, onto the other person's body, so that when you're near this erogenous zone, it is exciting to have it stimulated by that particular kind of sensation, all right? Because it's not just about touching that makes parts erogenous zones. It is how those parts are touched. So erogenous zones are actually produce heightened sensitivity, and the stimulation of which may result in sexual fantasies and or sexual arousal. But remember that it's not just the fingertips, but sometimes the full hand, or eyelashes, done in a technique called the butterfly kiss. The tongue, the full tongue, the lips, and even nipples can be used on another person's body to bring up the energy and to bring the synergy of sexual energy together. So erogenous zones really can be all over the body, and from the scalp to the bottoms of the feet. A lot of people don't realize that rubbing a woman's head or a man's head can be extremely relaxing and stimulating at the same time, just kind of moving the hand around, because again, most erogenous zones are extremities. So you think about the parts of your body that are the ends of the body, the head, the feet, the fingertips, the genitals. Those are the ends of the body, and those are where most of the nerve endings are. So from the top of the scalp to the bottoms of the feet, they are the super sensitive areas, but they are super sensitive if touched properly. And if they're touched improperly, they're not really an erogenous zone. They're a very sensitive area that you don't want touched. One erogenous zone that is a little different for men and women, but both can appreciate it, is inner thighs. Men's inner thigh as an erogenous zone tends to be up closer to the top of the thigh, near the crevice where the leg meets the body. But rubbing that area down and around can be quite stimulating to the fellas. For women, inner thigh is the entire inner thigh, from the knee up to the top of the inner thigh. This is extremely exciting when touched with fingertips or tongue or even hair, because this is an area that needs a gentle touch for the sensitivity to be appreciated. And the same goes for the back of the knees. Okay, for men, this is an erogenous zone because it is one of the less hairy areas on his body, and so direct skin contact is much more possible. When you use your fingertips to lightly stroke him from top to bottom, make sure you spend a little extra time stroking behind the knees. You will be amazed at the response. Another tricky area for pleasure is the lower abs. But lower abs are only considered a major erogenous zone if your pelvic floor is toned and if there isn't a substantial layer of fat on top of the muscle. So if you've had a lot of kids, you ladies out there, and you've never done any Kegels, and when you pee, you cough, laugh, or sneeze, you pee a little bit, I would probably say that your pelvic floor is not that toned, and consequently, your belly area is probably not going to be that sensitive either. But that can all be repaired. That's just a conscientious effort to take the bull by the horn and be responsible for your body and do what you have to do as your Kegels are concerned. And if the belly is not super sensitive, I can tell you now that the loins, which is the area of skin right above the top of the hip, usually is extremely sensitive. Now, you think about it. Why wouldn't this area be sensitive? It's not necessarily an extremity, but it is directly above the second chakra or the sex chakra. And so, of course, it would be highly sensitive. And when you're stimulating this area, it's a good idea to alternate between stroking there and then stroking the genitals and then back to the belly and then back to the genitals to increase sexual tension. The more time it takes to increase sexual tension, the greater the degree of tension and the greater the dynamic explosion. Use whatever kind of stimulation, tongue, eyelashes, fingertips, or lips, for the right feel, for the right moment. And when you know that your breath on super sensitive skin can produce a shiver of delight, you can play with the body like the true artiste that you really are. Another erogenous zone that I have to include is not so much about physically stroking it as mentally stroking it, and that is your mind. Your mind is the greatest erogenous zone of the entire body. If you speak the language of desire and create images of passion, the body will respond with quickened breaths and dilated pupils. And it's only recently that enlightened lovers have discovered how exciting life can be when you create exciting thoughts. And when you express those desires to your loved ones for fantasy and sexual play, it is truly a capturing, delightful encounter with your sweetheart. Lots of people know that another erogenous zone that should be mentioned is the nape of the neck. A lot of people really enjoy the nape of the neck being stimulated. It's just so close to the scalp, and it has so much tension that when you release the tension first and then stroke gently over it, it really is quite delicious in its release. And that's what orgasm is. Orgasm is pitched to a tension, a very high tension, and then the release. And the release is the and so that's the same kind of you can have when someone is touching the nape of the neck. The forehead and the tailbone and the armpits are also erogenous zones. The tailbone and the armpits in particular are major erogenous zones. Consider that the tailbone is at the very end of your spinal column, where all the electricity of your body is going up and down that spine when it is stroked properly. And it's not a hard press. It's a very, very light touch with a technique called pâté d'araignée. That's a massage, which is in the massage family, that helps to elevate sexual tension. And when you pay attention to the tailbone, you can really create a very pitch amount of sexual tension in the body, which again has to decline after the peak. So the tailbone is definitely something that needs to have special attention over it, and with a very, very light touch. And armpits, although they're not a poster child for excitement, armpits are very sensitive. And when you stroke on them or breathe on them or lightly brush them with the fingertips, it is very exciting. What you need, the only way it's going to be exciting, though, is if you know you're clean. If you're clean and you smell the way you're supposed to smell, then it's a major erogenous zone. If you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I wonder if I smell bad, I didn't use deodorant, or I haven't taken a shower since last night, and it's not going to be an erogenous zone. It's going to be a super sensitive area that no matter what the touch is, it could be done by Don Juan himself. But if you're not ready mentally for that part of your body to be touched, it's not going to be an erogenous zone. This area becomes less of an erogenous zone also when for women who shave the area. And that's because if there's any irritation there, they really can't handle any attention there too. So regardless, if it's freshly cleaned and some hair has left behind, pheromones are housed in the armpits, tufts of hair. And they can be delightfully intoxicating for the woman who has sexual chemistry with her lover. So that's why if you know that you have chemistry with your lover, you know that he smells terrific or she smells terrific because they have left their pheromone scent on their body. And if they have tufts of hair under their armpits or just some hair, the pheromones are left there. Now, some people, you know, don't shave their genitals, so the hair would hold the pheromones there. And for those who whack off the hair under armpits and the genitals, the pheromones are left on the head. But if you leave the hair on the armpits or some portion of it, even if it's very, very short, the pheromones can house themselves there. And it really is quite delicious and quite exciting, actually. Erogenous zones are the little gifts on our body that make sex worth having. They are the pleasure spots that keep sensual and sexual activity exciting and fun. If the only sexually stimulated areas of your body were your genitals, sex would become very dull indeed. Think about it. Some of the more well-known hot spots on the woman's body are her pubic area, also known as her venous mons. That's that little mound at the bottom there that looks like where the pubic hair is, and then her vulva and her clitoris. These areas get a lot of attention during foreplay because they are part of the main event. Stimulate them and the vagina will lubricate, making it easier for the male to penetrate. But along with the obvious outer erogenous zones, there is another lesser known or more controversial erogenous zone called the G-spot. But as a woman who has actually discovered her G-spot, I'm telling you there's no controversy. It's absolutely there. I can unequivocally tell you that it does exist, and it is responsible for multiple orgasms and female ejaculate. I can actually prove that men and women, that women actually have G-spots because it's made out of the same tissue as his prostate, and it produces the same fluid as his prostate. So it absolutely exists. It is located 1.5 inches up on the front center wall of the vagina, and rubbing the G-spot requires stronger, deeper, more consistent stimulation. Its design is perfect for G-spot stroking, and if you stroke it correctly, it will swell and stick out or protrude from the vaginal wall. Lovers who have discovered this hot spots are truly, they truly understand what a gift human sexuality is. I hope we're not having any problems. Okay. Make it your business to find your G-spot. Learn what toys or techniques it takes to stimulate yours properly so that you can have the most explosive, dynamic, intense, fantastic multiple orgasms that your body is capable of and done naturally. There's no reason that you shouldn't have a vaginal orgasm or that you shouldn't have a G-spot orgasm. You have a G-spot, it's perfectly legal, go for it. Men also have an area of their body that's like their G-spot, but it's called their P-spot, and that's because it's their prostate. Their prostate is located along the anal wall, or really 2 inches up from the taint. The taint is that perineum, and just above it is his prostate. And the prostate is the area from which his multiple orgasms originate. But the only way that men will have multiple orgasms, and when I mean multiple, I mean 1, 5 seconds later, 10 seconds later, another, is if he doesn't ejaculate. I know a lot of guys can't even fathom what orgasm without ejaculating, but you have to understand they're two separate events. The orgasm happens, and it causes the ejaculate to shoot out of your body. But the sexual energy that it took to make that peak explosion happen in your body, if it is recirculated around and around through your body, you can have as many multiple orgasms as your female, as your female friends, because the ejaculate is what wipes you out so that you don't have that sexual tension that you need to get to that fever pitch. So if you kind of keep that back, that explosion can happen again and again and again. One that every man can attest to as far as another erogenous zone is the sensitivity of the penis. It's easily excited. It has many parts. The scrotum is extremely sensitive. For many, this is so sensitive to hot and cold. This little barometric sac lets the owner know if all systems are a go for ejaculation or if there's a problem behind the scenes. The scrotum holds the testicles, and it's a very sensitive part and a very delicate part to any man's body. So the stroke, again, has to be light. Applying too much pressure to the testicles will cause pain, but it still remains a highly erotic area. The testicles actually need to be against the body so that the penis can ejaculate. One trick to delay orgasm is to put an adjustable cock ring at the top of the sac so that the testicles cannot rise up and be close enough to the body for the heat that the body needs or the genitals need to ejaculate. This little trick with the strap at the top of the scrotum should only be used for about 10 minutes, any more than that, and it really could get uncomfortably, it could get uncomfortable. And then, as I mentioned, the perineum. Perineum is an area that has a lot of nerve endings, and it can be very sensitive. It's the flat piece of skin between the testicles and the anus, and it has a seam running through it. If you look at that seam, that's actually the seam that divides the body in half. Flicked, stroked lightly, or licked will indirectly stimulate the prostate above it. Try massaging and fondling the perineum just before he has an orgasm. This stroking will heighten his pleasure greatly. And so many people think of the penis as just one thing, but it really isn't. There's specific areas to it, some of which are more sensitive than others. The glands, also known as the head of the penis, is the most powerful erogenous zone a man has. It is the place which will always bring the most massive amount of pleasure if targeted. And obviously, it is the most sensitive part of his body. So when you're handling that area, whether it's a kiss, or a stroke, or a suck, or whatever the stimulation is, communicate effectively with your lover and find out which stroke he enjoys best. So suffice to say that the human body is covered with erogenous zones from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Every part of the body, if touched properly, can elicit a certain response, and the hot spots or the erogenous zones can actually lead to sexual desire and sexual pleasure and sexual thoughts and arousal. So don't be satisfied with just the standard breasts and crotch and butt action, okay? The body has so much more of a potential for pleasure than just those three areas. For so many people, they limit themselves to just those areas. And then sex can become so predictable. It's no fun when it's predictable. It's supposed to be different. It's supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be foreplay, the play time that takes place between two people who want to go on the most magnificent adventure of sexual understanding and reaching those sexual heights that the body is most definitely capable of. Take good care of your bodies, and your body will take care of you. love your body for what it has to offer. Don't look at it with a critical eye. Look at it with a loving, nurturing embrace. And if there's anything about your body that needs a little bit of improvement because it's not healthy or it's just not working in that way, take whatever steps you need to take so that your sex life and your erogenous zones can help you be all you can be as the lover that you truly, truly are. I want to thank you all for joining me this evening. I'll be back live next week. I hope everyone is ready and calls in. We're going to have a great topic. So until then, have a lovely, lovely evening. Namaste.